and a good Thursday evening, everyone. Welcome to week three of the high school football season and our kickoff to the weekend, the Investors Bank High School Football Show, live from Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Tom's River on another really perfect fall evening as we get you set for what should be a big weekend of high school football here at the Jersey Shore. We are chock full of guests tonight. Joining us, I'd say in studio, but in restaurant.
On location.
On location. Lacey coach Lou Versillo and his outstanding senior quarterback Tom Kelly. Howell coach Derek Reichenbacher and the latest in a long line of outstanding Rebel gunslingers, Connor McGlynn. Pinelands coach Brian Wilkinson, whose team pulled off the big upset last weekend. We'll also chat during the course of the evening with Scott Stump, our partner from SureSportsNetwork.com, and, of course, our spotlight with Monmouth University Hawks head coach Kevin Callahan. Our football picks come later, and we start as I say good evening to my colleagues on the left, not necessarily politically, Ed Sarluka, on the right, Matt Harmon, and let's just touch briefly on week two. And Coach Sarluka, I'll let you go first. What stood out?
First of all, I'm surprised you didn't introduce Kevin Callahan as a much happier Kevin Callahan.
I will in about an hour. Yeah.
Well, I had the chance to see our top team in the Shore, Red Bank Catholic, on Saturday against a pretty good Manasquan football team. They came in at 1-0, both teams, and so impressed was I as I walked away from that football game. 41-0 victory for the Caseys. They were full throttle all the way. So impressed. They've got multiple weapons in their backfield on up front. They shuttle people left and right. You can't really gear in on any one. You know, they have two quarterbacks. They have a couple of running backs, two or three different running backs. So very impressive. I don't know how much trouble they're going to have this year. That's what impressed me the most about last weekend.
Colleague, to my right.
Is that me? Yes. Colleague, I am colleague. I had a couple of games that kind of jumped out at me. I was a bit surprised, though they did score some points late, that Barnegat struggled as much as they did with Manchester, 42-34, a high-scoring game. And I don't know, Ed, maybe an indication that Barnegat knows they're going to have to score a lot of points in a lot of games.
Playing without their quarterback, though, Matt, Sinjin Erskine did not play in that game, a minor injury, rested him for this week's big one against Mondon. I know that didn't help him defensively. Seems like the special teams had a breakdown. Manchester recovered two onside kicks in the last few minutes of that game to get that score a lot closer than maybe it was.
Yeah, and the other one, you know, and it was a game that was going just as our game was taking place at Mondon last night, was the game, you know, basically a stone's throw away at Tom's River South, an impressive win for the Indians, 27-20, over a Southern Regional team that has been very good in Class A South for the last, six, seven, 8 years almost at this point. And I think just confidence-wise, so important for South to be able to win that type of game and maybe get themselves on a little bit of roll, though they do have a tough one coming up this weekend with Brick.
A Brick team that battled Middletown South well into the fourth quarter, lost 28-7, but that was a 7-7 game after three. So certainly nothing for the Green Dragons to be ashamed of. Of course, the game we did last Friday night, Monsignor Donovan pulling away in the second half to beat Lakewood 27-6 and really setting the stage for what many believe is kind of the early season. This will be the team to beat Class B South tomorrow night, Donovan at home against Barnegat. And, of course, we'll touch on that as we go through the evening. And back to the South-Southern game, from people who were there, and we know a lot, they said the atmosphere was electric, something Detweiler Stadium was rocking like it hasn't in a while. We will be there a week from tomorrow night in what could possibly be an early season A South showdown. Lacey, who we're going to talk about tonight, at Tom's River South, but of course everyone will tell us, well, that's next week. We don't do that. We do the game in front of us.
It's always been one of the best places for a high school football game here in the Shore. So to have a little bit of juice behind anything going on at Tom's River South is certainly a lot of fun. And I'll throw one more out at you, not to belabor this too long, because I know we're going to jump into interviews pretty quick. If you had Modern Day at 2-0 through the first 2 weeks of the season, I'd like to shake your hand because I don't know the last time. I know it got thrown out there, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. The last time Modern Day was 2-0 to begin a year.
30 years?
I think
years?
82, something like that.
82 or 86. Yeah, it's been like 30-something years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now give Steve Sciarrapa credit, the coach and principal of the school, and they, you know, maybe they're starting to build something. I mean, I think it worked out for them that they had a couple of easier games to start the season, but it's the old line, you got to play who's in front of you. And again, for a program that has really not known much success, a 2-0 start, hey, they'll sign for that any day
of
the week.
And Ed, you know, the funny thing about it, they're really already halfway to a state playoff berth, if you think about it.
I mean, they only need four in that division.
They only need four. I mean, that's a division that sometimes struggles to even get teams in. And I know you are never shy about talking about state playoff stuff already through 2 weeks of the season. But for a team like that, if you can win your first two games, you can actually start thinking about, hey, maybe we do
better
have a start
start
in the
seeing some other teams.
That's right.
You know, to counter what you just said there about, you know, some of the weaker teams, name the two teams they beat. See, you can't.
Keensburg.
I know, I know.
My
point was, nobody really knows. All they know is that they are 2-0, and that's what counts.
Well,
wins and losses.
I know.
Well, you're an expert.
You play.
Yeah. Exactly. You play who you play.
Cardinal McCarrick, by the way, who's already forfeited their game against Keyport this weekend.
Well, we said that week one they came out against Beach with 18 players. We knew they were just a couple injuries away from something like that happening. But back to the South, Southern game, getting through South. It's a tough three-game stretch for the Indians. This is, as I know Matt always likes to call it, a typical trap game for the Indians as they travel to Brick with Lacey on the horizon.
Yeah, I might say that, but not against Brick. That South-Brick rivalry goes back a long time. I don't see any chance that that's a problem this week.
Not for the coaches, but
the kids
are thinking down the line. You can't tell me they're not. I know they're kind of focused, and it's the coach's job this week, as it was from day one, Sunday, to get them focused on Brick, because Brick is a good football team. And, you know, I mean, it would not surprise me to see them get knocked off. That, you know, let's put it that way.
We got to get the Lacey guys up here, and we will. It's 7:10. By the way, we didn't touch on Howell because obviously we're going to feature Howell in tonight's show and Lacey just momentarily. And then, of course, later on we'll talk about the Big Pine Lands win over Point Borough, their first since 2010. But we're going to welcome in the head coach of the Lacey Lions, the venerable Lou Versillo, and his outstanding senior quarterback, Tom Kelly. And Matt, I'll let you take this one away because I'm going to take pictures.
All right, you do that. already off to a 2-0 start this year. Lacey among those teams, the top teams at least considered right now in Class A South. 2-0 overall, 1-0 in the division, fresh off a 34-22 victory over the Mariners of Tom Zimmer North. And as Kevin said, the longtime head coach Lou Versillo here along with the senior quarterback Tom Kelly. Tom, I'll start with you because Coach getting a helping hand from you, getting the headset on. Good thing we brought
the AV guy.
Good thing
AC,
we brought
right?
the smart guy here. We brought the quarterback tonight, right?
Yeah.
How you doing, guys, tonight, all right?
I'm all right. How are you?
Tom, good start already to the season. You know, win over Pinelands, which was probably expected, and a little bit more of a test last week against Toms River North. But so far, you guys hitting on all cylinders, certainly offensively.
Yeah, I mean, definitely starting off real well. I mean, North a little too close for comfort. But, I mean, you can't give any team a break, no matter who they are. I mean, A South full of some of the best teams in the Shore, if not the best conference in the Shore, arguably. But, definitely starting off where we want to start.
Coach, I'm going to bring it up first, okay?
Uh-oh. Look out, Coach.
Three wins shy, and I know you don't want to talk about it, so I'm going to ask you to talk about Vic Caboo, because you're on the verge of his all-time record, not all-time, but right up there in the Shore, of 263 victories. You're three away from that. Don't tell me you didn't know because it's been in the papers, right? And Coach just gave you a little pat. I mean, Tommy just gave you a little pat on the back. What does it mean, and tell me a little bit about Vic Caboo.
Well, first of all, I don't read the paper, number one.
So this is the first time you're hearing this.
I'm aware of it,
okay,
obviously.
That's good.
And however, I haven't been thinking about it. And quite honestly, Vic Caboo was probably the finest coach in the Shore Conference, or definitely one of the top coaches in the history of the Shore Conference. And I always admired Vic Kabuth from the time we both started. I think he was a year ahead of me as a head coach. And we used to communicate quite a bit early on and through our tenure as coaches. But Vic, he set a standard that if you're a football guy, you certainly admired what he did, his coaches and his team, year in and year out. And so to be even mentioned in that category is an honor.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up. And, it's a very important milestone to you and the Lacey program, the only coach Lacey's ever had. And, Tommy, remind your partners in crime, that you got three victories away from that happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about the 2013 season, guys. Last year, quick numbers, 38 points a game. This year, a little bit better, 47.5 a game. Why all of a sudden, Tom, this tremendous offense out of Lacey? I mean, you always had a good offense, but that's a lot of points per game.
I mean, we definitely we have a much more balanced attack than a lot of teams think. I mean, we definitely have a very solid horizontal and vertical passing game. But, I mean, our run game is where it's always been at Lacey, very hard-nosed. We can run the football very well. And putting up points, you got to put up points to win. You don't want to rely on the defense. You don't want to put that much pressure on the defense. So if you can go down the field every play and score, it would be great. So,
Tom, when you think about Ed's into this year, I want to go back real quick to last year. 10-1, 7-0, division champs. But, you know, that one loss coming at probably the worst time. And for you, I know it was a tough kind of end of the year with the injury. How important was, the time off and then the preseason getting yourself kind of geared back up for your senior year here? Because last year you were having unbelievable numbers, over 1,200 yards of passing, 15 touchdowns, and you were kind of slinging the ball all over the place.
Absolutely. I mean, the injury happened. I mean, it was rough, but I'm not going to blame anything on that. I mean, but this offseason definitely had a lot of time to work with receivers, definitely get my footwork better, get everyone on the same page. I mean, we lost a lot of guys, a receiver. I mean, we only really returned one, and Christian Detella, who is an absolute animal, by the way. It was definitely a time to build a lot of chemistry among the players. I mean, you get to 7-on-7s, and you start building it. I mean, the building process is still ongoing. So, it was definitely a great time in the offseason.
Coach, where do you put this team in perspective right now after two games, this 2013 team?
We're extremely young. We have some growing pains right now. We still have to do so many things to be a complete team. Teams in our league obviously have a target on Lacey, and there are some very fine teams out there coached very well. So it's not going to be an easy path through the A-South. A lot of things yet to happen. Defensively, we only returned two guys, both in the secondary. And with Detel playing a lot of offense, he plays half the time on defense. So we have a number of sophomores in there, as well as juniors and seniors, that filled in from last season's 10 victories.
Tommy, 7 touchdown passes, right?
Yeah,
so far
7 touchdown passes.
Okay, mention the big hogs up front because they're the guys protecting
them. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I give 95% of the credit to them. We got Matt McGovern, our returning left tackle. Chris D'Addario, our returning guard. We got another returning guard, Frank Samira. We got a young guy, James Peeney, who is replacing the guy who I was here last year with, Tyler Walsh, offshore center. And we have another tackle, young kid, Joe McAvoy. Very big, very skilled. We expect a lot from him and hope he can produce.
Lou Versillo and the senior quarterback Tom Kelly here talking things over. Lacey football. Lions will be home this Saturday for Tom's River East, looking to go to 3-0. Coach, I, as a former player at the time, Lacey and Wall used to be in the same division, so I had the opportunity to play against you guys so many years ago, in the 90s actually, before everything kind of got jumbled up. And for so long, Lacey was that right in your face running football team. But the last couple years, it has not really been that way. Coach Sicardo, now Coach Davies, the offensive philosophy maybe has changed a little bit. And when you have numbers that Tom has already this year, 21 of 31, I know balance is important, but why the change all of a sudden? Was it getting away from not, I hate to say things that weren't working because it worked for so long, but almost kind of moving with the direction of football as a whole, throwing the ball a lot more?
Well, I think it's a matter of the times changing. But, you know, if you really study Coach Sicardo, we ran the ball more than we threw it. And, in fact, we threw the ball five different times in different seasons more than we threw last year in our tenure. So I think it's a little deceiving that you think we didn't throw the ball at times. The style of play is different. The style of play, wide open, vertical, horizontal, it's not play action any longer. And so and I did tell Coach Davies, let's throw the ball more. And the reason is it's dangerous. And I'm not stupid. I hope not. You know, I tell them if it's going to work, let's go. And we keep pushing it. Although Vince Lombardi, you know, and Woody Hayes and those guys keep telling me, you know, deflate the ball a little bit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm still a run guy, and I freely admit it. I'm a run guy. And I think you have to run the ball, especially late in the year. You gotta deal with the elements at that particular time of the year. So we can't lose sight of that.
Tom, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, okay. Tom, you know, I know with your coach sitting right here, it's easy to say we need to stay balanced. I'm happy to hand the ball off. But as a senior quarterback, again, with the numbers you had this year and the start you've had this year, you must be angling every time you come over. And maybe you walk past Coach Russillo and go right to Coach Davies and say, let's keep throwing, all right?
We'll do whatever's working. I mean,
he doesn't have to do that because I stay off the field. I just watch. And I say, keep doing it. If I don't like it, then I'm going to hear something. You know?
They must have heard something at halftime last week.
Coach,
the Raiders, an old coach of mine once said, 0-2 teams are the most dangerous teams to play week three.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Tom's River East and
the
Raiders.
Well, you can't lose sight of that fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, every team is capable in the A-South at any time. And if you lose sight of that, then you're foolish. You know, they have a very fine running back, a very dangerous running back, and, you know, a veteran coach, and they're certainly going to be gearing up. I don't think you look at any of the scores or any of that kind of nonsense. We've seen time and time again where there have been upsets, and we're certainly young enough to be upset at this particular time of the year. You know, hopefully we grow and improve and do the things necessarily to be able to take on some of the most formidable foes in the league. But right now, we're only thinking of one game, and that's East.
Tom, when you think about it, as Coach has said, only thinking about Tom River East, Coach was good enough to say he doesn't read the paper, but I'm sure you guys do, and especially with the social media craze that goes on, it's pretty easy to access information. So though it may make your coach frown a little bit, it would be hard for you as a player to say you don't know that Tom River South is on the schedule next week. And there's a potential for that really to be a huge early season A-South game. How do you guys avoid, you know, that old-fashioned trap game of playing Tom's River East, which has struggled the first couple of weeks?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Coach V said it perfectly. I mean, we take one game at a time. But, I mean, last year we played Tom's River South twice. We beat them both times. So there's definitely a circle on their schedule where we are. But certainly it's definitely in our heads just East. We haven't talked about South. There is no South right now. It's just Tom's River East.
Coach, Tommy mentioned Christian Tutela before. To me, probably one of the top all-around players in the Shore this year. He does everything, offense, defense. I believe he punts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He punts for you. So, you know, tell us a little bit about Christian.
Christian's a very dominant kind of player. He plays very physically on both sides of the football. He's very energetic. You know, he'll be very aggressive from the time we start to the time we finish. You know, so I think he's one of those guys that you have to be very wary of all the time. And in the spread, there are other people. There are other people that takes that pressure off of this one guy. It's different when you're a tailback, like when Keith Elias and all those 1,000-yard tailbacks that we've had over the years. It's different when you're that tailback and everybody's honing in on you defensively from both sides of the football. Now you're out wide, and other guys are getting the ball, and you just don't know quite when he's going to get it and strike, you know, whether it's a run or a pass.
Now, Coach, you mentioned the youth of this year's team. Give us maybe a couple of names that have really stepped up as probably sophomores, right, to make you as successful as you've been so far.
Well, I believe we have three or four sophomores right now that are playing, that are doing well. One is McAvoy, the tackle, and then Tyreek Smith, who's playing on both sides of the ball as a guard and a tackle, defensive end, excuse me. We have Jacob Post, who's a linebacker and probably a very sturdy linebacker. He's our strongest kid on the team
as a
sophomore. And then we have a kicker who is a kid named Davis, who in combines kicked 53-yard field goals.
Wow.
So, I mean,
never know we're going to need that 3 points or extra points later in the season, right?
Well, that's true. And, I'm not saying that these guys are there yet by any stretch of the imagination, because a sophomore is a sophomore.
Right.
But they're certainly helping this cause this year.
One player on Saturdays, after maybe you play Friday or maybe Saturday night, you sit back and you watch on TV, got to make you pretty happy. Freshman Tyrell Smith starting at UMass.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the happiness that brings you when you see one of your former players on TV playing in that type of football.
I didn't watch TV either.
Well, somebody must have told you. Somebody must have told you he's playing.
I'm on the field. I'm in the weight room. I go home and go to bed. And I get up at 4. You know, it's the same story every day. No, of course I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, happy with all the kids that are playing. We have other kids playing and starting and doing well, captains and
right. Things
of that nature on various teams.
But as a freshman.
He's a redshirt freshman.
He's still a freshman.
Yeah. And I'm very happy, and I'm sure, you know, he's happy. He's having a great time over there at UMass. You know, some of the teams they have to play, he's growing up real fast.
Yes.
You know, so.
Lou Versillo, Tom Kelly here talking Lacey football on our Thursday night high school football show. Tom, I got two more for you before we kind of start to wrap things up. One is, as Coach talked about, the youth of the team this year. You are a senior quarterback, and you have Christian, who's an outstanding wide receiver. Have you guys kind of figured that maybe some of the growing pains on defense might lie on that side of the football, where as a senior and a leader, you know that, hey, until they maybe get up to speed a little bit, and I know there's some youth on the offensive side, but when you have a senior quarterback and a great wide receiver, you know you guys might have to kind of carry the load a little bit until they catch up.
Well, yeah, I mean, Totella, Jensen, and I went through the same thing as sophomores. I mean, definitely the growing pains. I mean, both I didn't play defense, and Christian, I believe, did. Both Christian and Jensen did. But I understand the growing pains, even though it is on a different side of the football, and I understand where they're coming from. You kind of have to, I'm not going to say give them a break, but you can't be as tough on them as you would be on a senior linebacker, as, you know, Jacob Post, who's a sophomore, who's still learning the game, very capable athlete. But a lot of new stars, like Coach V said, we only have two returning. I mean, we still got senior guys on the team, on the defense, but a lot of them didn't, you know, were maybe rotators last year, but it's definitely a team that's going to grow and get better and better as the season goes on.
I know, obviously, you want to focus on this last high school football season, but perhaps more things coming in the future for you. I know you're thinking about playing at the next level. Can you give us any kind of an update in terms of schools and offers and visits that you've taken already?
No offers yet. I went to a bunch of camps this season. I'm looking at a lot of Ivy schools right now, Patriot League, Division III NESCAC schools. But, definitely excited for the senior season. And, hopefully that brings some more colleges. But we'll see what happens.
Coach, I got one more for you before we let you go. Your scrimmage schedule this year. I know you played a lot of teams up north and a lot of speed teams up north. Why, and did it help you?
Well, when we were in the B South, we always played the A South teams or the bigger teams. We tried to, and given the fact that we play down south, if we make the playoffs, I really didn't care to go down there. So now that we're in the A South, I really just want to get out of the area. And so we go north, and we've gone north before. We used to scrimmage Linden. We used to scrimmage various people. I pulled Burton Catholic, people like those guys. But, you know, Del Barton and West Orange and East Orange, they're very fast, very fine football teams, and it's a good test. And we were able to hang right with them, so it's not bad.
Lacey this year off to a 2-0 start. They'll be home against Toms River East coming up on Saturday. Tom Kelly, great start so far this year. 7 touchdowns and already over 400 yards of offense. Tom, obviously continued success for the remaining part of this senior season.
Thank you.
I know, obviously, a lot of great things coming for you down the line. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
Thank you for having me.
Coach, a couple wins away as Ed started things off. We'll keep an eye on the paper for you, and when it happens, we'll let you know.
By the way, next week, radio game at Toms River South. We'll be there.
Oh, you're making me nervous already.
Right, thanks. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Always good to talk Lacey football. Lou Versillo, Tom Kelly here. We take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show. We're back in a couple minutes from the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River on the Shore Sports Network.
And a good Thursday evening again, everyone. If you're just joining us, so week 3 of the high school football season coming up. We get you set for that weekend with the Investors Bank High School Football Show here at the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Looking for a place to watch the Thursday night game, you'll do no better than here. Rams and 49ers coming up in about an hour or so. One of the nice early season stories is what's taking place with the Howell Rebels. After an unusually rough patch a year ago, a one-win season, well, they've already doubled that. Howell opening up with a pair of wins. They are 2-0, and they have a big one coming up this weekend when they host Middletown South. We are delighted to welcome their second-year head coach, Derek Reichenbecker. And as I said, the latest in a long line of gunslingers that have made Howell a predominantly pass-happy team the last decade or so, and that would be Connor McGlynn. Gentlemen, first of all, welcome to both of you. Good to see you.
Thanks.
And, Coach, I'm going to start with you. Boy, it's a lot nicer to win.
Yeah.
It was a tough year last year for you, yeah, being a longtime assistant or a coordinator, taking yeah over a very, you know, it would have been a very successful program with Corey Davies. It had to be difficult for you, honestly.
Well, you feel like you got the keys to the family business. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is see the business go out of business after a year or so. So it was tough last year. You know, there were a lot of people that put their faith in me, and, you know, obviously we weren't happy with the way things turned out. It was a great learning lesson. It was obviously a tough year. It's tough no matter what position you are in a program to be 1-9. When you're the head coach, it's tough. We had been through some tough years when I was an assistant, and I saw what that was like, but it's a whole different world when it's on your shoulders. And it was rough. We got through it, and, you know, here we are.
How about the growing pains of going from that assistant coach coordinator position to being the guy that not only has to coach on the right field, but has to deal with all the other stuff?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of work. I mean, you know what that is. It's a lot easier to be the guy that sits back there and kind of whispers in someone else's ear. When he takes your advice and it fails, well, everybody yells at him. It's his fault because he made the decision, and now you move one chair over and you're the guy. So, but that's what comes with the territory. You know, fortunately, my wife is a saint. She's been very supportive. I have two little girls that you know, that are 5 years old, and after every loss last year, they made the frown a little bit less, and, you know, just like this year, they kind of make the smile a little bit bigger, and you kind of know where you're grounded, and those people are there to support you, and you never forget that.
Twins?
Yes.
Oh boy. So really, football, one win was a one-win season sometimes is better than being at home.
Yeah, no, I'm a lucky guy. I really
good
am.
You.
Connor, Kevin mentioned it before, you know, Penn State recognized as linebacker you. Howell, to a lot of us in the Shore who've been around a long time, is recognized as quarterback you, okay? Jimmy Ryan, Ryan Davies, Sean O'Reilly, Timmy Lamoran, and now Connor McGlynn. What does it mean for your name to be in that grouping?
You know, it's definitely, like, big shoes to fill coming in, and it's definitely an honor to be named up to those four or five quarterbacks, because they're one of the best at it, and I mean, I just got the spotlight on me, and just got to keep.
Let me ask you this. Is it the same offense that you've been running? You've been around in the program all four
yeah
years, right?
Yeah, correct.
Is it the same offense that as when Coach Davies? Have you tweaked
yeah
it a little bit?
No, I think what we've always kind of done at Howell is you have a system that's in place, mm-hmm, and you try to emphasize the skill set of the players that you have. So
right
they might not be the exact same plays that we emphasized mm-hmm in 2005 or 2006 because we were a little bit different then. So the offense is the same, but you try to tailor everything to the kids that you have. you know, depending on how mobile your quarterback is, depending on your offensive line, depending on your receivers and what they what they run well. So a lot of what you have to do during the offseason is really figure out, all right, who do we have? What do they do well? What are our strengths going to be? And then what do we emphasize within the system to take advantage of that?
Now, Connor, correct me if I'm wrong. We were not expecting to see you play a lot last year. Was there a quarterback who had gotten hurt?
Senior quarterback, John Cullen.
John, who was the returning guy. He got hurt, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And you took over, so you had to have gone through some growing pains being in that position.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he gets hurt last scrimmage, and I'm getting thrown in first week.
Yeah, four starts, right?
Four starts. And I'm getting thrown in, and just as our linemen, they're young, I'm getting thrown in there. We're all, like, trying to get on the same page. And, I mean, it took some time to get used to because varsity was definitely faster pace, different level. And but now this year I feel more comfortable, and I'm ready to take on any challenge.
Was there a moment last year, and even in a, maybe in a losing situation, where you kind of walked off the field and said, you know what, I think I got it a little bit now?
Yeah, definitely. You grow. Like, and you learn more as the week goes on each week. And, I mean, you just got to get better every week. And that was my plan from day one. And I think it didn't show by the wins, obviously, but I think I got better as not only as a person, but as a player.
I think,
I was just going to say, you got to believe that those four games that he started last year has helped him immensely this year.
If you go back and look at the system that's been in place, you know, really since we switched over to the spread in 2005 and Corey kind of put that whole thing together, guys that have played the first year versus their second year, you know, the one thing that usually happens is the first thing you see is the interceptions go way down. And so that tends to be a natural thing from junior year to senior year or first year to second year. And that's kind of what's happened so far. Now, it's a young year, and, you know, we have some pretty darn good teams we're going to see coming forward, especially tomorrow night. But, you know, that's been the one thing, is that turnovers come down, and that obviously helps you win.
Well, two games at 67 points.
Right.
But Connor's numbers, and we all know it's not just about numbers, but 40 of 62, at least this is unofficial, 506 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 1 interception. What happened on the interception?
I read the wrong coverage.
Oh, blame it on the receiver.
But, yeah, that's a mistake you can learn from, and you just go forward. You don't worry about that play. Just keep going. Worry about the next play.
Coach, last year, your opener, Toms River North, Big A South School, 35-7, they beat you. This year you turned the tables completely, scored a lot of points, beat them pretty badly. How important was that first game this year? And did you focus a lot over the summer towards that?
Well, I think it was tough for us with Toms River North only because, you know, with the new staff coming in and, you know, some of the players leaving. And it took us a while to figure out exactly what we were going to get. You know, and it wasn't one of those things where sometimes when all the players are back and the staff is back, you can really do your homework in terms of you know what you're going to see, you know what they're going to do.
Good point.
But because of the new staff coming in and the new players, it really took a while for us to say, what do you think they're actually going to do? How are they going to defend us differently? And so that definitely affected that. As a coach, you try to figure out where your team is, so you plan both ways. What are we going to do with these kids after a 1-9 season if we lose, and how do we pick them up? And then the flip side of that is the second that game is over and we did fairly well in that game, then you start going the other way and saying, all right, we got to keep these kids level-headed and remind them, hey, this is...
And you've never been in that position, right?
Well, like I said, I've been around it. It's my first time
as
a head coach. But hey,
as
an assistant, I'd been through 1-9. I'd been through state championships. So you see both sides. But, you know, we kind of went right back to George Patton, this whole idea that all glory is fleeting. And so everything feels good. It was great for our school. It was great for the kids. But... you know, it's 1 week at a time. That stuff all dries up in a hurry if you don't keep producing.
Now, Coach, you're a defensive guy, right? I mean, you do both.
I'm more of an offensive guy, but, you know, as a head coach in high school, I have a very capable defense coordinator.
Right.
So he handles most of the defensive stuff.
Well, you switched it this year, right?
Yeah.
You went to a different look, 3-4 this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was something that Dennis Bruck and I, our defense coordinator, talked about a lot during the offseason. It was something that complemented some of our defensive backs a little bit more. And allowed us to kind of do some more things. And with some of the spread offenses, we just thought that would help us out a little bit more. So we did switch to a 3-4.
We're talking with Howell head coach Derek Reichenbecker and his senior quarterback Connor McGlynn, 2-0 in Middletown South tomorrow night, the beast on the schedule. But, Connor, I want to go back to you. Ed gave Tommy Kelly a chance to thank the linemen.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not going to let you get out of here without having that opportunity. So, obviously, when you throw the ball, and I know a lot of your passes are quick passes, but the guys up front need to keep you off your back. So, who are they?
Yeah, definitely. Left tackle, Jeremy Subjinski. Left guard, Rob Herring. Center, Mike McGinnis. Right guard, Georgie Hildago. And right tackle, Austin Marquez. They'll do a great job blocking. I mean, I can't put up those numbers without them there. And they give me a great time, and they're just great there for me to block them.
And 40 completions in two games. So, who's catching the ball?
Oh, you know, I try to spread the ball around a lot, but my main target's obviously Joey Schultz. He's one of my favorite receivers to throw to. I always know where he's going to be. And but we also got great other receivers, great hands. I can trust all of them. That's Joe Salafrio, John DeMarco, and Dontrell Jones.
Okay, Connor, the truth now. Who's the guy in the huddle that says, Connor, come on, I'm open. I'm open all the time. You got to give me the ball. Who's that guy?
It's usually all of them. They always have to have a say in it. And,
Ed, that's one of the reasons we go no huddle. So there's nothing to deal with that. That's the best solution.
Coach, I got one for you.
Sure.
Middletown South,
yeah,
one of the great programs ever in the Shore Conference.
Absolutely.
Are they typical Middletown South this year?
I think what happens, it's like anything else. You know, when you play Howell, you say, all right, Howell's going to throw the ball. That's what they do, and you respect that. When you play Middletown South, you say, look, Middletown South is going to get after the quarterback. They're going to play great defense, and they're going to be aggressive. And that's what they do. I mean, you look at that kid, Taylor Hendrickson, on film. I mean, he's a kid that you got to know where he is.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure someone's ready to block him. So they're pretty darn good. And you know, everyone's going to talk about their defense, and everybody's going to talk about Connor. But their quarterback, Kyle Bray, is a pretty good football player, too. And so he's going to try to put some points up on the board as well. So you know that they're going to be well-coached. You know that they're going to do their homework. You know that they're going to test you. You know that mentally you better be prepared to pick up different fronts. You better be ready to win one-on-one matchups. I mean, you got to do your homework, and you got to be ready when you play that.
Still playing that flex bone on offense?
They're a little bit different. They're more in a no-huddle spread offense now. They're going to run a lot of zone out of the pistol, and then they're going to throw some balls to their quarterback, and the quarterback's going to throw the ball pretty well. And they have a couple of receiving targets that you got to worry about. So,
Connor, you get a sense the school is kind of excited about tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everyone's pumped up about it. There's flyers around school hanging around. And we just want to get a big crowd for tomorrow because it's a big game. So
it's going to be a beautiful night. How's the grass on the field these days?
Beautiful. No better place on earth.
You know,
it's home.
When I go to see a Howell football game, I look forward to two things. First of all, it's the Air Howell, Air Rebel, you know, the ball in the air. I love that type of play. I love the offense you guys run. And then it's the national anthem by, what is it, the
Rebel Yell?
Rebel Yell.
Phenomenal.
I love the way they do it.
It's funny. You know, I've been a teacher there, coach there for 13 years. I've heard that national anthem song a lot of different ways, a lot of different places. I always sing along with them. They do a phenomenal job.
Do.
That's Mr. Cantafa,
there you go.
Who runs Rebel Yell. They do a great job. The kids work really hard, and it's phenomenal.
You know, Connor, we didn't get a chance to ask you. We talked a little about Coach about last year. But when that season ended and, you know, a one-win season, was the real focus then all winter and up till through the summer that we just cannot let that happen again, and especially for the seniors, we're not going out that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, last year we didn't even want to end up like that as juniors. And this year, especially as seniors, we don't want to end up that way. And right when the season ended, we hit the weight room, like, worked hard every week, day in, day out, and we just wanted to get better as a team. And we're lucky we're at the 2-0 spot, comfortable, but we got a big game tomorrow, and we're just focused on that.
All right, one more, because we like to ask seniors, what are your thoughts after, you know, high school? Would you like to play at the next level?
I mean, still deciding, see what kind of offers I get, see who's interested in me, and after that, like, see where I go from there. Yeah.
Play any other sports, Connor?
No,
just football.
Strictly football, yeah.
Okay. Derek, we really appreciate you coming down.
It's great
to
be here.
You got a big game tomorrow night. It's great. You know, we always like it where, you know, when a team goes through a tough year, to bounce back and get off to a good early season start. And you certainly have doing that. And, again, I guess it's a lot happier days for you. Long season.
It's the grind of being a head coach. You know,
yeah.
You say a great season when it's two games in. You
exactly.
know, after tomorrow night, I could look totally different. So
yeah.
You take it one game at a time, and you know, you kind of know that the high is – you know, very short-lived. So you just enjoy it while you can and get ready for the next one.
Don't worry about it too much, Coach. You know, I looked over your schedule. No matter what happens tomorrow night, you got a lot of wins on this schedule.
That's easy for you to say. You don't have to play any of those games or call.
He'll be killing you next week. Believe me when I tell you.
No, I will not. That's for sure.
Derek Connor, thanks so much for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck to the Rebels the rest of the way.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with our guy, Scott Stump. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7. The Hawk. Hi, welcome back. We are live, as always, Baker's Water Street Grill. NFL Thursday Night Football tonight. The Rams hosting the 49ers. That's an 8:25 kickoff. We're here till 8:30. Coming up still in hour number two, Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. Pinelands coach Brian Wilkinson, his team coming off a monumental win a week ago, and we'll kind of recap the excitement down in Tuckerton last Friday night. A couple things here, guys, I wanted to mention before Stumper joins us. Number one, for our fans and our listeners, a reminder that the all-new ShoreSportsNetwork.com is absolutely the most complete source of high school football information and college football information locally you will find anywhere, with new stories each and every day, and of course boys soccer as well. Scott, Matt Manley, and Bob Batters, along with our guys, we handle that. So go out and check that site daily and check it often. Also, the current issue of the All Shore Media Review is out. You can pick that up. It's absolutely free at any of the Super Wawas. Those are the ones with the gas stations in Ocean and Monmouth County.
One thing I wanted to mention, Kevin, before we bring Scott on, is that tomorrow night at Brick Memorial, they will honor the 2003 first state championship team at Brick Memorial, the 10-year anniversary. Fred Springle, they will honor that team tomorrow.
That is, by the way, if you remember, guys, that was the game we did, the state championship game.
That got like a Monday?
Got snowed out where it was. They moved it to Brick Memorial on a Monday against Manalapan,
correct?
We did that game. That was 10 years ago, Matt. Can you believe that?
Right. Crazy. Right. We're all getting old.
It is crazy. No question about it. One guy who still maintains that youthful look is the ever-popular Scott Stump, our partner from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. He joins us tonight. Scott, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Now, we're good. We had a couple of great quarterbacks here in the first hour, Tommy Kelly and Connor McGlynn. So I'm going to throw – let me get you right off the bat. And obviously one of the nice things that's happened in the early going is the mini resurrection at Howell High School. The Rebels off to a 2-0 start. The passing game is moving fine. Tomorrow night at home against Middletown South. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think – you know, the last couple of years when Howell has had their really good teams and competitive teams, they've struggled with Middletown South because of South. Usually their running game is a serious problem for Howell, and South is able to control the clock and keep that great Howell offense off the field. So I think it's a big test for Howell's defense, you know, to slow down that Middletown South running game, although this is a little bit of a different Middletown South team that relies more heavily on the pass this year with Kyle Bray running the show back there at quarterback. So it's a big test for Howell's defense. And then I would also think for Connor McGlynn, this is probably the most pressure he's going to see, you know, out of that shotgun spread offense. Middletown South loves to bring blitzes from all angles, and that's sometimes been an issue in past years for Howell, is just trying to protect their quarterback against those schemes. So I think it's a really good gauge of, you know, Howell's off to this great 2-0 start, and how do they figure in compared to a team that's ranked in the top four in the Shore Conference?
Scott, when you think about, I want to go to the alma mater, Red Bank Catholic, for you. 2-0 already this season. I was talking to a couple people about them during the course of this past week, and I know that at some point during the year they'll be challenged. I know they have Middletown South on the schedule. That game could be huge for both sides. But, I mean, short of that, you know, the conversation I was having was, has RBC almost kind of outgrown the Shore Conference on a weekly basis? You know, I mean, their big knock has been they can't take that next step. But, you know, with the teams that are on their schedule, it's hard almost in a way to really judge just where they're at as a program.
Right, and that's a conversation a lot of people are starting to have, because they're starting to question the worth of certain matchups. You know, how much does it help for some team to get beat 50-0 by them, and how much does it help RBC to have their JV team in the third quarter? You know, so the tricky part is, you know, if RBC tries to break away so to speak, and play an independent schedule, or maybe they schedule the Bergen Catholics and the Don Boscos and teams like that to prepare themselves for St. Joe Montvale and Del Barton, I believe that would also require all the rest of their sports besides football to also break away from the Shore Conference. So that kind of makes it a really tricky situation. But, I mean, clearly from seeing them against St. Joe Montvale last year, that's an issue in the sense it's hard to suddenly ratchet your play up, you know, 10 notches when you're seeing a team that's just ridiculously better than everyone else you've seen during the regular season. A lot of people, that's sort of the thing, is how can you really prepare yourself for what you're going to see given the schedule they have?
Scott, your typical classic trap game this week, Toms River South at Brick. Discuss.
You know what? I was listening earlier, and, you know, Kevin was saying it's an old rivalry that goes way back, and I think that's still true. I mean, Brick is dangerous. They still, you know, they have Carmen Scalfani at quarterback, Ray Fattoruso in the backfield, and they were neck and neck with Middletown South until 7 minutes left in that game last week. I have them still ranked number 10 in the Shore. I just think they've already beaten Brick Memorial. They're a dangerous team. I know the Lacey matchup looms, but I really don't think this is necessarily a trap because that's a legit team, and it's kind of hard to overlook them at this point.
Yeah, plus I don't think Toms River South is at that point that they take anyone for granted. It's not like they've been a power, you know, for years. I mean, this is
right.
kind
I mean,
of like
a... still, you know, on the rise. I'm
exactly.
In the sense, though, that I feel this is the first time since their ascension that they're favored to beat a quality team. How do they handle the pressure on the road where they're now supposed to win, whereas in the last couple of years they've consistently been the underdog. Now they're the one that has to get it done, and the pressure's on them.
Yeah, good point. Here's another game I'm kind of interested in tomorrow night, and that is one we've talked about in Class B South, in which Monsignor Donovan, coming off an impressive win over Lakewood last week, takes on a Barnegat team that is 2-0. I think we all agree the B South favorites, and now the Bengals go on the road. And what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting game because Monsignor Donovan seems to just be really tough in divisional play. You know, they're the defending B-South champions. I think they got a lot of confidence last week, particularly defensively, with the job they did against Lakewood. And that defense is going to be severely tested because Barnegat scored over 30 points in both of their games and clearly is an explosive team. And I know St. John Erskine missed last week after, you know, tweaking his back a little bit, but he's going to be back in the lineup, and that's a really potent group to slow down. And I think people think of Barnegat as this aerial attack team, but they've been bulldozing people up front, and A.J. Upry, the running back, has been great through the first 2 weeks. They've been pounding people on the ground. I just think this is going to be a huge test for Monsignor Donovan's defense and the question of, you know, can that offense, which is a lot of dynamic players, you know, Vinny Grasso, Joey Fields, Kyle Carrington, can they keep up if it becomes just a complete shootout?
Scott, when you think about, you know, it's hard always to go through a division, and I feel like this is one of the divisions where in the past couple of years, you know, there's been multiple lost teams that either tie or kind of that things come down all the way to the stretch. But somebody between Ocean and Mattawan will really take a leg up this week in terms of the Class B North Championship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the black and blue division this year. Every team pretty much near the top there has a really rugged defense. Even just top to bottom, almost every defense in that division is really quality. You see a lot of low-scoring games. Ocean with the 7-0 win last week over Neptune, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's again really low scoring this week as Mattawan's defense has been really solid so far. And I think Mattawan has a little bit of chip on their shoulder because, you know, maybe the whispers in the preseason where they lost too much to graduation, they might take a step back. I think they're out to show that, you know, we're not going to miss a beat. We still have plenty of good skill players. We still play defense at a championship level. So you're right, though. The winner of this, of that game, kind of stamps themselves as an early favorite, you know, to win that championship. Long Branch and Neptune also play on Saturday, which is another key game. You know, if Long Branch gets that win, you got to count them right there. And, you know, this might be a division where you can afford to maybe slip up once because these teams are going to take turns knocking each other off. So if you lose one divisional game, it's not the end of your chances.
Scott, the biggest surprise to you of these three teams, they're all three of them are 2-0. Wall, Matawan, and Howell, all three 2-0. Who's the biggest surprise of that bunch?
I would probably say Howell. You know, I mean, Toms River North, we know they lost a lot in the offseason, but to come out and the performance that Connor McGlynn gave in that game and coming off a 1-9 season where really nothing went right and they had so many injuries, they've just really popped right back on track, and that offense is back at the level, you know, that it's accustomed to being at. And I think that a lot of times has to do with the maturation of the quarterback. I remember when Jimmy Ryan was a junior, I believe Howell was like 3-7. But the next year as a senior, he made the leap to an elite player, you know, an all-shore level quarterback, and they became an even better team and went back to challenging for a title and making a playoff berth. And I think that leap that McGlynn has made this year, plus a really, you know, good, talented group of receivers, has helped them get right back in the mix. And, you know, coming off a 1-9 season, I don't know if people necessarily expected that right off the bat.
All right, Scott, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to give you a team that needs to be on upset alert tomorrow night, and that is the game we are doing right here on 105.7 The Hawk. Toms River North hosting Southern Regional. I think North's a dangerous team tomorrow night. They've certainly shown they can move the football and score some points. Southern is coming off a very tough loss last week to Toms River South. Mike Gizicki nicked up his ankle in that game. I would not be stunned if the Mariners pull off a win tomorrow night. How about that one?
No, I agree with you. I was thinking that earlier today. I mean, there's no easy games in A-South, but, and then that kind of illustrates that fact that, yes, Toms River North's 0-2, but they were right with Lacey very late into that game on Saturday night. So they showed what they're capable of. And don't forget, this is a team with a ton of newcomers and young players. So with every game, they're getting more experience. They're getting more comfortable. So they should only get better as the season goes along. And there's no way you can just, you know, take them for granted as a win. And then they're a proud program. And they know that if they want to be in the playoff hunt, if they want to have any shot to hover in the division race, they pretty much have to have this game. They can't drop in an 0-3 hole. So I think they're going to give Southern all they can handle.
You can get all of Scott's picks on this weekend's action, shoresportsnetwork.com, all weekend long for sure. Scott, thanks very much. We'll talk to you over the weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, our partner Scott Stump. We take a quick break. We come back. We'll talk with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan as we start hour number two on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And we are back, hour number two. And as Ed said about an hour ago, he'll be a much happier individual to talk to tonight. He is the coach of the Monmouth University Hawks, who got off the schneid with the 21-14 win at Holy Cross last weekend. They'll look to make it 2-0, hopefully, when they head to New York City on Saturday to take on the Columbia Lions. It's, of course, Coach Kevin Callahan. And, Coach, are you a happier guy this Thursday than you were last Thursday?
I'd like to think that I'm always happy.
I said happier.
happier is a good description, yes.
There you go.
Well, listen, it was a good W, and, you know, on the surface you hear a 21-14 game, but I know you feel this was a game really that, for the most part, Monmouth dominated, and really the outcome should have not been in doubt at the end of this one.
It shouldn't have been. And for 56 minutes, as you said, Kevin, I thought we dominated the game. I thought our defense, on the defensive side of the ball, our rush defense and our front seven played a great game. We generated turnovers. We didn't give up any big plays. And then over on offense, we had two backs go over the 100-yard mark on the day. I thought we pushed them around up front and really controlled the game. I will admit that in the last 4 minutes, it did get a little hairy. There's a lot of uncertainty going on there, but I got to give our guys credit. You know, they stayed tough. We pulled it out and walked off the field, on the road with a victory.
Coach, a big reason why the last couple of weeks the offense has kind of kicked it into another gear, as we talked about on the Tuesday night show, has been the running game. Julian Hayes and KB Asante, both for the second consecutive week, able to go up over the 100-yard mark. So, the credit there goes to the offensive line, and we had KB on the show on Tuesday, and he certainly did that. But those two guys running the football really do complement each other very well.
Well, we think it makes it tougher, our opponents to defend. When we can throw two backs at them, both, with equal capabilities and who are strong, physical runners who seem to get stronger as the game goes on. You know, we got into that drive in the second half, Matt, where you can remember that it was a 15-play drive. It started on our own 2-yard line. We went 98 yards for a touchdown, and 14 of the 15 plays were run. Midway through that drive, we switched backs with Julian Hayes started. We put KB Asante in, and we didn't miss a beat. And at that point, our offense came off the field and said, all right, we've got control of this game right now. We've got them on their heels. They're tired. We're wearing them down. And when you have two backs that can pound away like that, that's what you can do. And that's not to say that we're just going to be a pound-away offensive team. I think, you know, with Brandon Hill and the receiving core that we have the ability to be explosive and strike quickly. But in a game, in Saturday night's game when our defense was playing so well, that's just what we needed at that point.
Coach, this Columbia team, don't you wish that you could be in a situation where your players may not get the scores of their first few games, and you go into it, you know, as a 0-0 team. And
well,
plus
yeah,
now they, and plus,
doubt, Ed.
And,
yeah,
and especially now they've lost their starting quarterback, right?
Yeah, without a doubt, Ed. I mean, and the most difficult thing this week in our preparation is to really figure out what is Columbia's identity. We've played four games; they've played one. And their one game was against Fordham, who's off to a terrific start this year. They're 4-0. You know, they dominated a very strong and highly ranked Villanova team. They beat a Temple team, and then they go in and they dominate Columbia. It was Columbia's first game of the season. It was Fordham's fourth. And who is Columbia, and what are they? You know, we know they have a terrific running back, an all-Ivy back from the year before. They had a Stanford transfer at quarterback. Unfortunately, he was hurt in the second half and didn't return and won't return the rest of the season. So who are they? They seem to be very basic offensively and defensively. And is that because it was their first game? Is that because they were playing a lot of younger players? Is that because they were playing a very physical and athletically talented Fordham team? I mean, all of those questions won't be answered until Saturday afternoon up in the Bronx. But it's a team that, you know, last year, late in the season, they upset a very good Cornell team. They had Penn beat until the last 12 seconds of the game, and it's a lot of the same guys returning. So we really don't know what we're in for. But what we've talked about with our team all season long is to make sure that we continue to get better from one week to the next. And I think we've done that. We did that from Montana State to Liberty, and then Liberty to Lehigh, and then Liberty to Holy Cross. And we've just got to continue to that process and continue to improve from one week to the next.
Monmouth University head football coach Kevin Callahan, as Hawks will visit Columbia Saturday afternoon. That is a 12:30 kickoff, and you can hear it on our Shore Sports Networks, 1160 and 1310 AM, and, of course, streaming live at shoresportsnetwork.com. Coach, do you was there anything noticeable difference in practice this week now that the players have that W under their belt and everyone have a little more bounce in their step, or not really?
No, definitely, Kevin. I mean, our guys this week came out and, you know, they had the look and they had the feeling that they were finally rewarded for all of their hard work. And, you know, as a coaching staff, we have been on them to work to get better, work to get better. And as I just said, from weeks 1, 2, to 3, to 4, yeah, I thought we were getting better, but we didn't have that reward. And I made the analogy to our team a week ago. It's like, you know, I asked them, does anybody have a grandfather who had a farm? And you go out to those old wells on the farm and you have to pump the well handle, it seems like 300 times to get water to come, and you can't ever stop pumping that handle because you don't know how close the water is to the surface. And I just said, keep pumping the handle, keep pumping the handle, and the water's going to flow. Well, you know what? Last Saturday night, the water started to flow, and our guys saw that, and now they believe, and we're ready to go.
Coach, when you think about, you know, obviously building up until that point like you did a week ago, but still able, as you said, you know, minus those 4 minutes at the end, pretty good domination, but those 4 minutes also give you the opportunity to continue to make sure everybody's on their toes a little bit and realize, hey, we still need to actually put together a full 60-minute game.
Well, there's no question about that, Matt. I mean, you know, we weren't certainly, or I certainly wasn't happy about those last 4 minutes. I thought we had some letdowns on the defensive side of the ball. You know, when they scored their first touchdown to make it 21-7, some assignment mistakes that just, to me, was a lack of concentration and a lack of execution. Then we go out and we get the ball back, and if we get a first down on offense, we can put the game away and we go three and out after having dominated the entire second half. After going three and out, we have a mistake on special teams where we get a bad snap, and actually our punter does a great job keeping the ball in front of him, but he puts his knee down. It gives Holy Cross a short field. They go back in again and get another touchdown. And here we are. It's 21-14, and we're facing an onside kick. You know, fortunately, we do a good job recovering the onside kick, and then we're able to run the clock out and expire the game. But it was one of those things that, how did it ever come to this? I think that was a great lesson in itself. You know, we put in front of our guys and said, hey, listen, man, you know, it's not over till it's over. We learned how to win. Now we got to learn how to finish a little stronger.
Well, two in a row. Let's try and get it on Saturday afternoon, and then you'll even be happier than you always are a week from tonight. Thanks, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate being on the show.
All right. Mammoth Hawks Coach Kevin Callahan, Mammoth visiting Columbia on Saturday afternoon. What do you got,
any truth to the rumor that Matt's going up a little early, maybe teach a few law classes?
Not at Columbia. No. I'm hoping that we don't break a few laws getting to the game. That's what we're looking forward to.
Matt might need a lawyer when he's in New York this weekend. Still coming up, our six-pack of football picks, and we'll take a glance with this weekend's schedule. But delighted to welcome in on location the head football coach of the Pinelands Regional Wildcats, and obviously, I think everyone around the shore, I would say everyone but Point Borough, was actually pleased last weekend that Pinelands snapped what it had been a humbling 22-game losing streak with a win over Point Borough 16-13 in overtime. And before we welcome in officially Brian Wilkinson, I will tell you I got a note to say that the Beechwood Tornadoes are wishing you the very best.
Outstanding. That's my son's soccer team, okay. So you know, we'll take it.
Well, and you'll also take that W last Friday night, won't you?
that was fun. You know, it was. You know, I was fortunate, you know, at South and coaching at East and everything, but to get that game, you know, and see the kids, especially the seniors, and the way they reacted, the fans, you know, it was really pretty neat. That was a special moment. It was really, really cool.
Let me just backtrack a little bit. This is your first year at Pinelands. You had been a successful head coach at Toms River South. Then you spent the last couple of years as an assistant with Charlie Diskin at Toms River East, running the defense over there. And then you jump back into the head coaching fray. And obviously, you know, coaching at A South and being in the situations you're in and getting teams to the state playoffs, here you go to a school that has really kind of taken their lumps. I mean, it was an unbelievable challenge for you. Your mindset going into this kind of job or this season compared to when you were coaching an A-South team?
Yeah, my experience at South was fantastic, and East, obviously, Charlie, you know, a great guy and a real good football coach. You know, but to come to Pinelands and you know, it is different. It's the neat thing about it is the support that I got right from the beginning. You know, it was clearly a place where they want to get it right. They clearly behind football. It's important to them. The AD, the principal, and the administration in general, the teachers, the community, you know, they all are just dying for a winner. And I met with each kid before the season. I said, you know, what are your goals? And one by one, the kids came in and said, we just want to win a game. We just want to win a game. And I said, okay. So we're going to shoot a little higher than that, but, you know, it's a good start. And right from the beginning, the kids, they really embrace the new staff. You know, a lot of times coming in new, you see that the kids, well, this isn't the way it was done before. This is, you know, there's always a little bit of fight. Not this group. They said, what do we got to do? You know, just tell us what we have to do. And, you know, we pushed them pretty hard at times. I said, man, maybe we're doing working a little too hard. And you know, each time the kids got through it, and you know, the kids won this game. No coach won it. The kids did a great job with this.
Well, you know, you won this game in unique fashion. Some, you know, a win that you don't see a lot of teams win like this. You won it with defense and three field goals by John Kabricki, and the last one in overtime. So the whole victory was unique.
It was. You know, we were down 13-3, and with 10 seconds left, Burrow had the ball on about the 15-yard line going in the half. And, you know, we stood strong. They actually had the ball inside the 40 just about the entire first half. So, you know, our kids kind of rose up to keep it 13-3. I thought it was pretty good. And then we came out, we got that field goal, and you could kind of feel something. You know, all of a sudden you saw it. You know, the kids kind of clicked in, and, you know, then we had to punt. We had to get a stop and use our timeouts, and then, you know, we hit them. And, you know, it was actually a 59-yard touchdown. And, you know, you just –
Brothers,
that
right?
Was it. Yeah, yep. Dan and Matt McPhee were outstanding kids. And then we went in with about a minute and a half left. We had the ball, and, you know, Matt Fuller, the offensive coordinator, said, what do you want to do? I said, look, we got the better kicker. Let's just sit on it. We'll get to overtime. We're going to beat them. And, you know, they got the ball. We held, and – you know, there's no doubt we played for the overtime because, you know, we believe in John Kubricki, and, you know, he's done a great job in the preseason, taking the coaching and doing the things that he had to do. And there was no doubt when we sent him out, this one's over.
So you won the flip in overtime, and
yep.
Usually the team takes the ball second.
That's
so
correct.
You see what you have to do.
Absolutely. Yep. So, you know, that was good. And you know, I have to say, you know, and you know, I went into the locker room, had about 100 text messages and inboxes and stuff. But really, I thought the two best ones that I got were from Coach DeRosa, you know, who was there last year, and how excited he was, and you know what a class act he is. And then the next day from Coach Henry from Point, who texted me and said, "Hey, Coach, you know I'm rooting for you guys. You did a nice job. You know, you earned it." Which I thought spoke volumes about both guys.
I guess he threw our messages out. I guess, huh?
He said 100.
you didn't crack the first couple.
I didn't crack the first two.
Brian, you know, obviously the struggles of the program were well documented before you had even taken the job. Was there anyone, and I hate to play, you know, negative, but was there anyone who tried to talk you out of taking it, almost saying, you're going to have a really hard time winning there? And after being a head coach, maybe you enjoyed your time as an assistant, and now all of a sudden to kind of jump back into the fray was such a difficult task ahead of you.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of friends that are coaches, and you know, before I went, actually, I went down on the first interview with the idea of I was going to go through the process. You know, I wasn't sure what if I would eventually take the job or not. I just wanted to go through the process, and I walked out of the interview saying, you know what, I want to be there because, it was a unique process. I've never had a first interview that the superintendent, principal, AD, community member, they had 9 people on a committee the first time around. And you know, I walked out and went, wow, you know, these guys, they want to get it right. It's important to them. So the idea that many people would sit on an interview and that it was that important that they wanted to try to, you know, really get the best candidate they could get, you know, I wanted to win that, you know, and then I went back and some people said, you know, really, Pinelands, are you sure? And, you know, meeting the kids, you know, going through that process, there was no question. I thought it was a great fit. And, yeah, I like the challenge of it. And I love the kids. I mean, it is really a great group.
And putting together a staff, some people from there and obviously some new coaches.
Yeah. It's fun. It's different than the staff I had at South. When I was at South, I had a lot of experienced football coaches and guys. You know, we're all friends coming in, you know, and we're all real tight. Down at Pinelands, it's a unique situation down there, and I felt like even more important than football knowledge, I thought we needed to bring a certain energy. And so it's a staff of young coaches, good coaches. You know, Matt Fuller, my offensive coordinator, and Anthony Alaka, you know, who I coached with at East, you know, Joe Adelizzi, who really was more of a wrestling coach, but he had played for me and I knew him pretty well. And then, you know, some Rob Cordasco, who was also at East with me. And then, you know, Justin Loomis, who's a Pinelands guy who, you know, is a baseball coach, has coached basketball, you know, but he's a young guy and a fired up guy. You know, I brought in Todd Kaiser, who was a quarterback
Southern.
At Southern.
Yeah.
Right.
Good one.
Real
yeah.
Successful. And had been involved in the offense before, and Scott Paterka, who played at Miami of Ohio, not only was a heck of a good football player and a really good coach, but he owns a lot of KFCs, and you know, we felt like
good for after
you got hungry.
Good for after the game.
We felt that was important. So, You know, but really, it's a good staff. It's a fun staff, and we get free chicken.
That's the best line of the night. That's absolutely it. Let me ask you this. You know, go back to Friday night. Now, on our website, Scott Stumpf has 10 videos from the week, and there's a video of the, but it was obviously a student in the stands on an iPhone, and he's shaking and the whole thing. But what you get out of that was when the game ended, it was like you won the national championship.
It was, you know, I'm hoping we get a little more used to winning, but you know, listen, it was great, and it wasn't really. Going into the week, you know, we were more concerned with the psyche of the kids coming off the Lacey game. You know, a team puts up 61 on you, and you go, man, how are we ever going to get these kids back? And credit to my assistant coaches, because I thought they did a great job of just keeping a poker face, keeping things calm, and just coaching, not yelling or berating, just coaching. And so we're worried about that, but it wasn't until we won the game that it really hit home, because we were a new staff. What it hit home, what it means to lose 22 games, and you know how important every win is, and that's when it really went like, wow. You know, I guess that really did hurt, and you know that monkey's off our back now. So, you know, let's not be happy with one. You know, that's kind of the message. So,
but do you worry about this week? About, you know, I mean, I would imagine everyone was kind of floating on cloud nine during the course of the week, and though coaches will try and keep everyone on the ground, probably a difficult task during the course of the week of practice.
Yeah, you know, I agree. That was a challenge, and something we talked about in the coaches' meeting on Sunday. But one of the things that we're trying to do is kind of keep a real even keel. We approached this week the same way we approached after losing by 61. You know, we came in and said, okay, look, we won, but it's exactly the same approach. You know, we're just gonna do things the way we do. And one of the things that we talked about with the kids is we don't want to have good practices or bad practices. We just practice, and this is the level we want to practice at. And you know, that's where we're trying to get to. So we'll see. You know, hopefully the message is getting through.
Brian, you'll be able to tell by how many text messages you get after the weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
It's either going to be, you know, somewhere 50 to 100 or nobody.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
How I know you teach in the school. How important is it to be in the school?
I don't think you can build a program without teaching in the school. I mean, you might be able to coach a team, but I don't think you can build a program. You have to have contact with the kids every day. You know, you have to be able to stop by and talk to a teacher and, you know, follow kids around a little bit. You know, we've done some things to try to bring the faculty into the program. You know, so I don't see how you can ever be a successful program if your head coach isn't teaching in the school. I think it's a monumental task.
Talking with Brian Wilkinson, the first-year head coach at Pinelands Regional. The Wildcats snapping a 22-game losing streak last Friday night with a 16-13 overtime win over Point Barrow. John Kubricki goes in Wildcat lore, right? Probably the only Pinelands guy to kick three field goals in a game to begin with, right?
You're probably right. I was thinking in all the years I've coached, I don't think I've ever had a player make three field goals.
I don't know if it's been done in the shore by that many. Three in a game.
Did you feel good when he lined up in overtime?
I did.
How far was it?
It was 34.
Okay.
So, you know, might be wrong, but it was around that. Not a chip shot. And that, you know, I told some people earlier, we had lost to West Windsor Plainsboro South in a scrimmage 3-0. We had attempted three field goals from about that distance. He had missed all three. And he actually came up to me after the game and said, Coach, I don't ever want to do that again. What do I got to do? And, you know, we had a pretty good conversation, and you know, he's done what we asked him to do, and you know, he's a talented kid, and you know, we believe in him. You know, we put him out there. We believe he's going to get it done.
In the last minute here, so obviously the game was really won by your defense because they hung in there. You know, so throw out a couple of names of guys that really came through for you on Friday.
Yeah, I think I thought Mike Yak, our middle linebacker, did a real nice job making checks and putting us in the right position. Rusty Karkoff kind of. A little bit of a vocal leader is another guy who helps with the checks a lot. You know, I thought, you know, both McPhees did a nice job on both sides of the ball. And really, as much as it was our defense, our offense did a good job of grinding it out. You know, I thought again, Mike Yak at center. You know, I thought David Stanton. I thought, you know, right across the board, our offensive line played well, and that was the difference.
challenge on Saturday against a good Lakewood team that's smarting a little bit after losing last week. They won't want to make it two in a row, and you'll head there on Saturday afternoon. So
yeah, you know, that we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming. It's a great story because you get a sense of what it meant to the community and the school. Like you said, you didn't even realize it yourself until you saw, but it hurt losing those 22 in a row, and that streak is all over.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Start another one.
Amen.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Right,
we wish you a lot of luck. Brian Wilkinson, the head coach at Pinelands Regional. We take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with our six-pack of picks. Do that right after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at 105.7 The Hawk. All right, welcome back. Home stretch here, guys. I'm going to give each of you $1 million if you can guess this question. Get this right. Red Bank Catholic. Who was the last shore team they lost to?
I think Red Bank.
Last shore team they lost to.
I don't have to give Luch a million.
Rumson? I mean, I'll take a shot and say Middletown South. But
well, you got the right letter. Their last shore conference loss was to Manchester, and they lost because Tom Sokol of the Hawks kicked 3 field goals.
There you go.
All right? How about that? Gerard O'Donnell, the Manchester coach, just texted me.
He
would know. Thank you, Gerard. All right, guys, here we go. Six-pack plus one are 7 football picks for the weekend. Last week, Ed and I were both 6-0. Scott and Matt were both 5-1 for the season. 3-way tie atop. Matt, Scott, myself, all 11-3. Ed's only a game back at 10-4. It's a long season. Here we go. Game we're doing tomorrow night at 105.7 The Hawk. The Sunny's recycling game of the week. Southern visits Toms River North. Harmon, you go first.
I'm going to take Southern in that game, Kevin.
Edward?
I will also take the Rams.
Both Scott and I took Southern. I'm thinking about you. I would have changed if I could have, but I couldn't. So I think Southern's on upset alert. The big one in B South, Barnegat visits Monsignor Donovan. Both Scott and I went with Barnegat.
I'll take Barnegat in that game,
Yeah,
too.
I think the size factor too much for Mondon. I'm going to go Barnegat in a close game.
Another big one, Matt, Scott mentioned a little bit. Ocean visits Matawan. Ed, who do you like?
Big Red of Ocean.
Okay, Matt?
I'll take Ocean in that game, too.
Well, we're going to make it all of us agree because both Scott and I took Ocean as well. Jackson Memorial visits Brick Memorial. Should be an emotional night tomorrow night, the 10th anniversary of that state championship team. Ed, we'll let you go first, but yeah, we know where you're going.
Big win by Jackson. They put up 41 on East. I'm going to go Brick Memorial.
Scott and I both took Brick Memorial. Matt, how about you?
I'll take Brick Memorial home team. A little emotion there, too.
Well, come on, guys. We've got to disagree a little bit here. How about Middletown South and Howell?
I'm going to take Middletown South on that one.
Ed?
I'm going to take Howell.
Wow, there it is.
There you go.
Put it down. Ed Sarluka picks Howell. Both Scott and I took Middletown South. That's a loss for Lutz.
I hope Derek is listening on the way home.
All right. Well, you've talked about the trap game. Toms River South visits Brick. Neither Scott or I think it'll be a trap. We like the Indians.
Yeah, I think they're too good this year. I think they're for real, the Indians.
Matt?
I'm taking Brick.
Wow.
All right. Brick.
I like the difference of opinion. Matt going Green Dragons. Okay, so that's a loss for Matt. And finally, Neptune at Long Branch. That's another big one this weekend. That's a good game. Scott and I both went with Neptune.
I'll take Neptune in that one, too.
I'll take the Flyers also.
All right.
Obviously, you and Scott talked before, and
actually,
said, let's pick
can I tell
all
you something?
Of our games the same.
You know, my picks are on record because I also do them in the Asbury Park Press. My picks will appear tomorrow.
Yeah, but you have gone the other way.
No,
on
only on them very rarely. So I already made mine, and then Scott emailed me his today, and I said, hey, Scott, we have the same 7. So. There you go.
We got some different ones, so somebody will get some losses.
Again, tomorrow night we will be at Toms River North for the Mariners game with Southern Regional, a Class A South encounter. And this is a pretty good football weekend. Buys this weekend, by the way. Frio Township, Asbury Park, Monmouth Regional, and Red Bank as we get into the bye season a little more.
Any truth to the rumor that you're putting us up since we're in back-to-back Toms River games this week and next week?
That's right. You can stay in our office.
You can stay in the studio. Robbins.
You can sleep in the studio.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
Good show tonight.
Very
good. Guests. Really appreciate the guys from Howell coming down, Coach Derek Reichenbecker and quarterback Connor McGlynn, of course, from the Lacey Lions. the eloquent Lou Vercillo. Didn't get a chance to ask him about the beard.
Yeah, he's had that all summer. Yeah,
that beard's got to go. And and Tom Kelly, the quarterback. Of course, Brian Wilkinson, the Pinelands coach. Scott Stump and Kevin Callahan. We were chock full of guests tonight. That music says it's time to thank Ray Malaspina for his usual tremendous job back at the studios of the Hawk. And, of course, the best guy you'll ever have on location, our own Tom Tremblay. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night, hopefully, north and southern, and back here next Thursday to the crew at Water Street, especially Amanda, our waitress. Have a good night, everyone.